Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show for us on the other side of the glass. My, oh my, what a hot weekend. And it's going to be a very hot week ahead. So, that's what happens when we get to be into June. So, not that unusual. Coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, we've got our live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, all of our podcasts, the complete show archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Monday, of course, is face-off day. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 is our live line number, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, Moe makes house calls, and he does a very good job at that. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course, they're on Facebook. Our Monday political face-off today presents our two commentators today. Seated to the left of me, Jeff Rogers, Mr. Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how are you?
I'm very well.
And we have Jim Kelly with us. Jim Kelly, a longtime Republican Party activist and a columnist and also a contributor to the Buckmaster program. And I thank you now personally, Jim, for hosting two shows. You had two very good shows while I was gone.
Thank you very, very, very much. And I, by the way, I was a former legislative district chairman for the
Republican
Party.
There you go. There you go. But this gives me a chance to thank you personally, though, for
always a pleasure
for hosting.
Always a pleasure.
Political news today, Jeff and Jim. Steve Farley, well known in this area, state senator. I first met Steve, Jeff, when he was very much involved with downtown Tucson transportation issues.
Absolutely.
Back in the 90s with the city council and all of that. Now he's going to run for governor.
Well, if you're a fan of the modern streetcar, I think you can, to some degree, thank Steve for that.
Mm-hmm.
He was very active in that before we came up together with the RTA. And as we all know, the RTA was a giant compromise between a lot of different groups. I think it's been a raging success. And I'm very, and the streetcar is carrying far more passengers than we ever dreamed it would be, and it's contributing to the revitalization of the downtown University area, the Fourth Avenue corridor, and it's Steve was very, very active in that, and I believe Steve do the mural that
we did
on the Broadway underpass,
yeah,
which is something I enjoy driving through whenever I get through there.
It's an uphill battle, though, Mr. Kelly.
Oh, absolutely. As the native son of Tucson, obviously I think Tucsonans would cheer a Tucsonan wanting to be governor. We haven't had one since, Rudy?
Was it Raul Castro?
Raul Castro.
Okay.
So having somebody from Southern Arizona in the governor's office, obviously I think that will probably bear him well. However, Steve Farley... I feel sorry for any Democrat that has to run against Doug Ducey. It's just that
mm-hmm.
simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug Ducey has been a fantastic governor. I think he has brought a lot of disparate people together for common goals. And, you know, quite frankly, he's the one governor that I think is still doing his absolute level best to calm waters and maintain and continue the growth of the economic cooperation with Mexico. I don't know how well Steve Farley could do that. Jeff and I were talking earlier, and he said Steve would not have a steep learning curve if he became governor. Well, yeah, because he knows the legislature well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are some things that Steve lacks in terms of ability, and not necessarily he couldn't learn it, but just the fact that he doesn't have experience with it, and that's the international relationships that are necessary that our governor has.
And then, Jeff, you've got another candidate who is announced, and he's a pretty high-profile guy, and that is Dr. Garcia, the education professor at ASU.
Well, as we were talking about earlier, he's the answer to a trivia question. He's the only person to run statewide, win Maricopa, win Pima County, somewhat convincingly in both cases, and then lose statewide by losing including the rural areas. I think he was a formidable candidate against Diane Douglas. She was, however, a very weak candidate for Republicans running statewide, and so he might not look as strong against Ducey. But I do think either Steve Farley or Dr. Garcia would be quite an improvement upon Doug Ducey. I didn't think we could have a worse governor for education, K-12, and the universities than Jan Brewer, but I underestimated how bad Ducey could actually be for that. I think he's bad for business, and I think his promise that he's fulfilled, actually, to reduce taxes in some way, or way, shape, or form every legislative session is harming this state beyond belief. Mm. We've got to realize that if we want to have the state we want to live in, and we want to be proud of Arizona, we want to attract people to Arizona who want to live, work, and get an education here, that and bring jobs to Arizona, that we can't continue to cut taxes and cut taxes and cut taxes. We're one of the lowest tax states in America, and at some point in time, you have to pay for the services that you want, whether it be quality education in K-12, whether it be quality universities, whether it be good roads that we want to drive on and accessible transportation. These services have a cost, and we're reaching a point where we can't afford any of those services, and so we're cutting services in order to pay for these tax breaks for the rich and tax breaks for corporations. And, you know, we have to ask, and I don't think that Arizonans mind paying for things. Witness what happened here in the city of Tucson election. I thought that tax increase would pass, but I didn't think it would pass 2-1.
Jim, what's the case for Governor Ducey? You said you think he's really done a great job.
I do, and I'm always amazed when Democrats talk about education being underfunded when it's actually almost 60% of the general fund of the state of Arizona.
Well, being dead last in America or education, in the bottom five.
The Educrats just want more. They always want more. And if it was up to the Educrats of Arizona, I think 90% of our money would be going into their pockets. The reality of it is that Doug Ducey has done a great deal for education. He's put more money into education. He's put more money into K-12. Whether the local districts are using that money correctly is a whole other story. But the issues are, yes, Doug Ducey has put money into education, a lot more than Jan Brewer did. Secondly, again, those companies are coming. He's not bad for business because, hello, you know, look at Maricopa County is growing tremendously economically. They're also the number two fastest growing in the country. We are experiencing some of that growth in Pima County. We're up 2.5% in our GDP, but the reality of it is that, you know, Tucson just needs to do more. So understanding the differences between how things are taxed in Maricopa County and their growth and how things are taxed in Pima County and our growth, that probably would have a lot more to do with it that I don't blame Doug Ducey for at all. I blame us because we're not doing what Maricopa County does. But the fact is that Doug Ducey has been very good for business. He's brought jobs to Arizona. There has been great GDP growth in the areas that those jobs have come. Education also has more money than they've had in years.
Well, we're still either dead last, next to last, or 47th in per pupil funding and of students in K-12 education
and
in Arizona.
And if the local districts just start using their money correctly.
Look, if you're dead last, it doesn't matter how efficient your district is. If you're dead last in funding, you're going to be dead last in performance.
They can't even upgrade their IT. Where you have electronic,
and we've been this way for years, Jim. Years and years and years. It's time to put the Great Recession behind us and fully fund education. And what I'm telling you is something that Democrats, Republicans, independents all agree.
Paper and pencil, for goodness sakes, it's ridiculous.
If you don't have the money, you can't upgrade the technology.
Well, Senator Farley and Dr. Garcia are going to have to hope that people feel the same way Jeff Rogers feels, because that really is the plan. That's why they're running, from what I understand, right?
Well,
I
mean, it's education. Steve Farley has also been a great, great advocate for tax reform in that, you know, we have way too many loopholes. And one of his favorite ones is, I think, called the 5-inch pipe, whereas, you know, there's a lot of people who use 5-inch pipes in construction activity, and it is taxed at a lower rate or no rate at all. And I mean, there are all kinds of these little loopholes that have developed for business and industry and for, you know, everybody from farmers to to you name it, has some kind of loophole that needs to be closed, and we need to basically gain more tax revenue. And if we have more tax revenue, we'll have more money to spend on roads, education, and public safety.
One of our email coming in during the show from one of our listeners: do either of Jim or Jeff have any knowledge of a bill, SB 1182, that Mr. Farley sponsored that would ban mountain lion hunting in Arizona? Do you have any idea about that, Jim Kelly?
It's not an issue that that I have followed. If he wants to ban mountain lion hunting, he ban mountain lion hunting. I just don't think it's going to get past the legislature. Again, that's this kind of thing why Dr. Garcia lost, because they don't pay attention to the rural flyover areas of Arizona. And that's why Democrats lost horribly in this last election, is because they stay in their elitist bubble and they don't pay attention and listen to the ranchers and the people in rural Arizona. So again, if he wants to try to ban it, go ahead. It's not going to go anywhere.
I represent several hunting guides, so
okay.
I have to say that it's not an area where I'm an extraordinary advocate, but I don't know that there's a great issue as far as wildlife control. We have a very active game and fish department in Arizona, which manages wildlife, and if they close areas to hunting when it gets over hunted, they open other areas up when there's too many of mountain lions or deer or whatever in those areas. And so it's a managed function of the state, and it's pretty well managed in for most degrees, as are most states. I mean, there are compacts between the states as to how we manage wildlife, and hunting is a part of that management process.
All right, we'll take our break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jim Kelly and Jeff Rogers going at it. We'll be right back. If you'd like to join us, 790-2040. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Tuesday at noon. Why State Senator Katie Hobbs wants to be Arizona's next Secretary of State. Also, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Buckmaster airing on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Jeff Rogers is here and Jim Kelly. Jeff and Jim, the president today announcing he would like to move in the direction of privatizing the air traffic controllers in this country. Whether you like that or not, I think, Jeff, some folks are saying, when are we going to get some of the big stuff done like health care and income tax reform?
Well, as far as President Trump's legislative agenda, it's been an absolute complete failure. I mean, he keeps talking about the wonderful, beautiful tax reform package, which, by the way, doesn't exist yet. And other Republicans have said that there is no bill, there is no tax package. And God knows what kind of a monstrous tax package he would come up with if he had enough detail orientation to actually do it. His repealing of the Affordable Care Act, a complete doomed failure. I mean, they rushed something through the House of Representatives, which had everyone admitted they didn't actually read it. They just needed a little notch on their gun to say we've got something passed here. But it's an absolute failure and an absolute disaster. Pre-existing conditions. Heck, I have a pre-existing condition. I'm 61 years old. You know, I probably wouldn't be able to find insurance as a self-employed person if that package passed. People like you and me, if we weren't on Medicare and we were over 50 years old, we might pay five times what we're paying under the Affordable Care Act. So it's an absolute disaster. And to hit on the air traffic controller thing, that, you know, there are some things that the government just ought to do. Police mm-hmm. protection, fire protection, national security, and maintenance of the air traffic control is one of those things that I think ought to be done by the government.
Jim Kelly.
Well, first off, I don't think Donald Trump's administration has been an absolute disaster. The repeal of the Affordable Care Act and the replacement so far, there's a lot to be done there. The Senate still has their version that they want to do, and then they can go to reconciliation. So there's still a lot there. At the moment, Obamacare is still the law of the land. So if you are having difficulty with your premiums, it's not based on anything the Republicans have done.
That's not going to be true here in a few moments, because there are some things that are designed to stabilize the premiums where the government contributes to that to keep the premiums lower. And the Trump administration has indicated that it doesn't want to do that any further.
And again, the budget hasn't even been approved yet either. So the reality of it is that there's still a lot more work to be done with regards to the American Health Care Act. And we need to give the Senate their deliberative responsibilities to do something good and right for the greatest number for the greatest good. With regards to the privatization of air traffic controllers, I don't even know if that's legal to privatize them based under current law with the way that the Federal Aviation Administration is designed. So that may be just a pie in the sky, you know, idea that got thrown out, but I don't know if that's something that that can actually be done legally without Congress and the Senate agreeing up to it.
But overall, you think Trump has done some good things. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, and at this point...
What? Name one.
Well, actually, with regards to our foreign policy...
insulting our allies and propping up dictatorships, autocrats, and not speaking up for human rights. Those are good things, Jim?
I never saw Barack Obama ever go after the Middle Eastern nation. Over human rights. The reality of it is this, is that he is putting America back in charge. He's putting America back in a leadership position with regards to
NATO. He's abandoning 70 years of American leadership, abandoning it.
That was abandoned
70
years ago.
We've been the leader of the free world.
That was abandoned 8 years ago.
And he's turned his back on the free world and our allies that has kept this world prosperous and safe for 70 years since World War II. And he is turning his back on all of the things that we grew up knowing kept this world
safe. I believe
what
he's doing is making NATO pay their fair share. I'm glad we're out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Why? It was perfectly voluntary. We didn't even have to comport with the
other countries. Give your reason, though, Jim.
But it was going to cost us $1 trillion. And as long as nobody else had to
not
pay
if we
into
didn't
it,
pay
you know,
it.
They're very happy if America footed the bill for that. The reality of it is the Paris Climate Accord did absolutely nothing for the planet, did nothing for climate change. It was just a siphon for money that we can ill afford to do right now. So with regards to his foreign policy and Rex Tillerson at State Department, Jim Mattis at
are you aware of the breaking story? The breaking story today from all news outlets that in fact Trump was supposed to insert the Article 5 a language into his speech. It was in the speech because Tillerson, Mattis, and others, the entire intelligence community said you've got to show your support for NATO. That he removed it unilaterally at the suggestion of Steve Bannon and Steve Miller at the last minute, and none of the foreign policy or intelligence minister people were aware that he had made that change at the last minute, and that they were shocked, and they had to come out and say, "Oh no, we will still meet all of our requirements under Article 5." Mm. And that story's breaking through news outlets all over America today.
Well, you know,
this guy, I'll tell you, elections have consequences.
Yeah, they do.
And I knew that domestically a lot of Democrats' agenda was going to be eviscerated by Trump, but I was not prepared, and I am shocked to see how he's behaved as far as our foreign policy, and particularly in dealing with our allies of the last 70 years. I think this man is foreign policy-wise, is absolutely dangerous. And I'm a lot more scared than I thought I would be.
And, 50% of the country thought Obama was dangerous for the last 8 years, and firmly believe that still. There's a lot to still be done. Again, Senate and Congress has to do their job in terms of holding the president's feet to the fire with regards to military spending and whether we support NATO or not. We obviously do. We obviously do support Article 5. However the president wants to do his art of the deal style negotiation, that's up to the president. You may think it's dangerous, but a lot of other people think that it's going to save us a lot
Will
of money.
It translate, Jeff Rogers, what you've just been talking about, Donald Trump, and the distaste you have and Democrats have, will that translate to a midterm big-time victory for Democrats?
It's kind of looking like that could happen. Now, we have an uphill battle in the House of Representatives because of how gerrymandered these things were after the 2010 census, and that to the disastrous election in 2010, which led to control of most legislatures and governorships in Republican hands. And so they were able to gerrymander that to the point that it's an uphill battle. But we're showing that Trump is so unpopular nationwide. And he's not even trying to play to the middle. He's continuing to do everything he does is to satisfy this small base group of about 30% of Americans. And I think this could be a disastrous election for Republicans. And perhaps they'll learn a lesson from this that, you know, I mean, I
I look back, and we haven't had a president that I think is as disastrous as him since Herbert Hoover. I mean,
well,
I look back at the hopeful days of Ronald Reagan, and I miss Ronald Reagan.
You can look back on him all you want, but I'm going to tell you something. If the Democratic Party continues to go to the socialist progressives, to that base, you're going to lose. And that's just the way it is. The socialist progressive agenda is an anathema to 47% of this country, and there's about 12% that can go either way.
Right.
And that's what we're looking at, is that the 12%, the middle 12% is going to sway this. And I'm going to tell you something: unless the Democratic Party can do something about salary compression, about raising the economic mobility of all that flyover country, you're gonna lose.
But here's the other side of the coin. We can't lose.
Trump can play to the ideology of that small base that you talk about. But here's the reality: if he doesn't deliver economic mobility, if he doesn't smash salary compression, he will lose that 12% in the middle.
And the reason that will happen is because he has no policies designed to address that issue. Yeah.
I think you guys are right on with that assessment. Good to agree on something here at the very end of the Monday Political Face-Off. Jim Kelly, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Jeff Rogers, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Went over and saw Mo this weekend. He's very pleased with all the fine Buckmaster Show listeners who are supporting his business at Fort Lowell and Dodge and Moe'sGallery.com. We'll be right back. General Wickham is next. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. Stop by Green Things this week. Take care of all your gardening needs. Yes, it may be very warm outside, or hot, whatever you prefer to call it, but the mornings are still very comfortable. And certainly that golden hour before a sunset, good time to do some gardening. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They do a beautiful job on 13 acres, the owners Jan and Jack. GreenThingsAZ.com is their fine website. Once a month on the program, usually it is the first Monday of the month, we are honored to have our contributor on military and foreign affairs. He is General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 79 to 82. General Wickham served 4 decades in the Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and it's always an honor to have him on the program. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and it's an honor to be on your wonderful program.
Thank you very much. How do you think General Defense Secretary Mattis is doing, General Wickham?
He's doing very well. We're very privileged as a nation to have that quality leadership. I've served closely 2 Secretaries of Defense, and Jim Mattis is going to be a great one. So I think he's doing well. Now, he's outspoken. He's willing to tell the boss, you don't do things right, boss. Here's what you should be doing. And he has just been very critical of the Chinese and what the Chinese are doing with the island programs that the Chinese are pushing in the South China Sea. And that's consistent with the Trump philosophy. As you may have recognized, the National Security Advisor, among others, wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, and they pointed out that the world we face is no longer the world we used to face, where nations would abide by international law. The world we face now is a world of hostility, where each nation is seeking to get its own advantage, and therefore we've got to pursue our selfish interests like every other nation. And so that's a quite different philosophy, but it's what we're saying to the Chinese. We're going to exist and pursue our own interests.
How was your relationship with the Chinese when you were serving as the Secretary of the Army?
Well, when I was Chief of Staff, you're right.
Chief of Staff.
I visited China a number of times and spoke with all the senior leaders and the president on down. Pretty good relations with them. Very open, very candid. Spoke clearly about North Korea. And as I mentioned on your program before, the Chinese kept saying North Korea is an ally, and we're going to protect them. We don't want North Korea to become another South Korea with refugees pushing into China. So we're going to do what has to be done. But the Chinese went on to say the North Koreans do not listen to any advice, including ours.
Hmm. Well, Secretary of Defense Mattis was over in Singapore, and he had some very strong words for the Chinese, saying that they have been blatantly, General Wickham, disregarding international law and contempt for other nations through the activities in the South China Sea. I think a lot of people, General Wickham, don't really know what's at stake there, but isn't this a flashpoint area?
Well, it could be, but the South China Sea is, we've got to think of it as part of like the Caribbean next to the United States. It's next to China. And China sees the South China Sea as, in a way, a territorial interest of their country. And nationalism is growing in China, a natural phenomenon based on things going back way to the terrible wars that faced China. And so that they struggle with, and so this is a natural phenomenon. And the critical thing with the South China Sea is that there are so many nations involved that are interested in that area, Philippines, Vietnam, and so what's going on is a natural phenomenon. I don't think it's a flashpoint.
The Philippines are having all sorts of issues, aren't they, with terrorism?
They are, and that goes back a long way. Duterte, the current president, a tough man on narcotics and drug dealers, and a lot of people have been killed trying to clean up the society. An interesting phenomenon, one of my West Point classmates, Eddie Ramos, who used to be a very strong leader, apparently is still playing a role in politics. And so there are people involved in the Philippines that's going to bring some balance to the future.
The Republic of Korea has a new leader. What are you hearing about this leader?
Well, the new leader has got a phenomenal background in dealing with the North Koreans and feels that the North Koreans are people that they can deal with if we establish better relations. And so he's going to pursue that. But he's also raised the question about the THAAD, the Terminal High Altitude Air Defense System, saying that we didn't ask for that thing here, let's get rid of it. Well, I think it's a mistake, given the vulnerability of the South Koreans. 80% of the South Koreans live under artillery range of North Korea. So it's a natural thing to have some protection there, and the THAAD is a demonstrable, capable weapon. We've tested that capability, as you may recollect, just the past week or so ago, shooting down a ballistic missile. So it's very capable. But we're going to see this. This man is trying to lead South Korea into a new era.
Well, you know, that was that test that everybody was applauding out of Vandenberg, I believe, Air Force Base on the West Coast that went so well. Why is this leader of the Republic of Korea, is this a political issue about the defense system that he's reluctant to get on board with this, General Wickham?
In part, there are South Koreans who believe that it is going to increase the vulnerability of South Korea to Chinese influence. The Chinese are dead set against this capability, this THAAD system, because they see it as a threat to their own weapons capabilities. I don't see it that way, but the Chinese do. And so there are South Koreans who like to see the system gone. Some of the South Koreans are worried that the THAAD could be a target. It could be attacked by the North Koreans and the Chinese later on in the future. So they would just as soon have it gone. So there are South Koreans who'd like to see it gone. I think it would be a mistake to take it out. I think it is a very important defense in South Korea.
The restarting of what is called the six-party talks on North Korea, it's been a while, hasn't it, since that has been started up?
Oh, yes, right. It's been 8 years or more.
Wow.
And now people will argue, well, it's a non-starter. You're never going to get the North Koreans to do that because the North Koreans will never, and I believe that's true. If I were North Korean, I would never give up nuclear weapons. It's a guarantee of my security. But there are things that can be done to get the North Koreans to constrain their nuclear activities, to stop exporting weapons or technology, and to limit the number of weapons they have, and to allow inspections. They've already, at one time, they agreed to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they could do it again. So I think there are things that can be done reasonably to get North Korea to behave a little more responsibly. So I think that the six-party talks can move in that direction if we're willing to say, okay, we'll recognize North Korea as a nuclear power. We're not going to get rid of the weapons, but we can do things to constrain them. And there's a quid pro quo, more trade, more opportunity to work with the West.
All right, we'll take our break right here. We encourage you to call at 790-2040. General Wickham will stick around for another segment. If you have any questions concerning foreign affairs, General Wickham would be delighted to answer those questions. But right now, we take a break on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be right back.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. When things really heat up here in Pima County, you get these very, very kind of hot days. It's still very nice over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where a couple of days ago, friends were saying they had some nice rain over there. So they had some thunderstorms and things starting to green up in the Gila National Wilderness. So yes, it's a three-hour drive, but that's not too bad. The Silver City and Grant County, this time of year, it's a nice getaway up in the Gila National Monument. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of several dozen great recreation opportunities, and there's some great places to stay as well in Silver City. So check that out. Let's go back on the live line with General John Wickham. General Wickham, the former United States Army Chief of Staff, with us on the live line. General Wickham, the situation in Afghanistan is very troubling. This has almost become like a forgotten war for the United States.
That's a good way to put it, Bill. We've been there over 14 years, and there's no progress. And now the military, as usual, asking for more troops. We've got 14,000. They want 5,000 more, maybe. I don't think 10,000 or 15 is going to make any difference. This is a war that cannot be won with the military. It's got to be a regional war of pressure. It's too late probably to get the region involved. The Russians, the Indians, the Pakistanis, the U.S., China even, should be involved in doing this. It's too late now, I'm afraid. But there's things that can be done to regionally organize troops and not more U.S. troops. So I don't believe more U.S. troops is going to make a big difference over there. We're spending billions of dollars to support the country, paying for their Defense Department, paying their troops, paying for the training, paying for their ammunition, and we're not seeing much progress.
And I worry about our service people who are over there. It's a very dangerous duty. And again, General Wickham, it's almost like a forgotten duty in the eyes of the public.
It is. It is. You're right. A lot of these things are forgotten. And that's one of the interesting aspects about President Trump's recent visit to the Middle East. A lot of things are ignored there. For example, one of the points he ignored when he came back and met with the nations, the U.S. nations involved with NATO, he did not say anything about Article 5. Article 5, one, which means an attack on one nation is an attack on all, mm-hmm. is a central part of NATO. And he didn't say anything about that, didn't reinforce that point, which makes the allies wonder, good grief, does the United States still support NATO?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the president spent some time in Saudi Arabia and applauded. We're going to sell them $400 billion worth of weapons. That's good news for American arms dealer, but it's bad news for the Middle East because it means more weapons for the Sunni to kill the Shia, and so the wars are going to continue. But also the president overlooked the opportunity to lecture the Saudi Arabians about Wahhabism, the religious philosophy of Saudi Arabia. It goes back 100 years or more. And Wahhabism is the philosophy of the Islamic State.
Hmm.
It's a basis for jihad in the Middle East. It's a basis for attacking the West.
Hmm.
And here we could have said something about, look, Saudi Arabia, you've got to cut back on Wahhabism as a philosophy and stop pushing this all around the world with your wealth. Didn't say anything about that, ignored it. So I think that, in my humble opinion, the Middle East trip of the president was a bit of a failure.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Matthew checking in. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hello, Matthew.
Oh, very good. Just trying to stay cool like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
hey, General Wickham, I just got a primer recently on Midway, and I didn't realize, how close Midway was really to going either way. I mean, that was not a guaranteed success. And what would have happened if Midway hadn't gone our way? Where are we with regards to sea power as we continually seem to see the Chinese MiGs and also the Russians challenging us both on the sea and in the air? Where are we on sea power?
Good question.
Question, Matthew. As usual, you're well schooled on these issues. Sea power, the United States has the largest sea power in the world, the most aircraft carriers, the most sophisticated submarine fleet, and all the accompanying ships that go with it, as well as the missiles. So, and we're continuing to modernize that. Now, that's one of the proposals of President Trump, is to do more to modernize our naval fleet, and I think it needs it. Same with our Air Force. We're flying 50-year-old aircraft. We've got to modernize the U.S. Air Force, and we're going to do that. So that makes sense. So from a standpoint of sea power, no one can match us. The Chinese are trying to build. They just launched, as you know, an aircraft carrier. They built themselves, and I've seen that. I've been over there, seen some of the work that they do. It's pretty good work, but nothing like ours. So we're doing well. We need to do more.
Well, and Matthew, thank you for bringing up the 75th anniversary of really one of the early turning points in World War II in the Pacific, and that would be the Battle of Midway. So many heroes, General Wickham, aviators who were basically on a suicide mission from some of our carriers.
That's right, they were, and that's the kind of war we survived and did very well at, and it's because of the quality people we have. There's an illustration of that. It's a little anecdote, but it tells us a lot about the American youth. After Grenada, I went around to pin Purple Hearts on soldiers that were wounded in Grenada. And at Walter Reed, when I pinned a Purple Heart on this young soldier who was in the pajamas in the hospital bed, and the photographer was going to take a picture of him, and the soldier put his hands up and said, no, wait. And he reached into his pocket and pulled out the little American flag that had been sewn on his uniform, and he put the little American flag above the Purple Heart and said, now, take the picture, because this flag is what I am proudest of. It tells us a lot about the youth of our nation, that we still have quality youth that love this country and are willing to serve it.
General, you were growing up during World War II. Was there something that influenced you that soldiering would be a part and be your life? Did something happen during that period, please?
That's right, Bill. My father was gone in World War II. Unfortunately, my family had broken up with a divorce when I was a youth and never really had a family. And father was gone at the war. I was living with a guardian. And there was no money to go to college. West Point was not very far from where I lived, and I'd been there to visit. And so West Point was an opportunity for me. And I used to pray at nighttime the Lord's Prayer every night 20 times, thinking the more times I would pray it, the likelihood it would reach heaven. Send me to West Point, and the good Lord responded.
Well, the Lord has certainly watched out for you, General Wickham. Just had a remarkable life, and we're glad it continues on, and you're just a terrific contributor to the program. Are you getting a chance to do any exercise? I know you had a little bit of a health issue recently.
Yeah, I did. I had pneumonia, and I think the pneumonia is, I've had it twice now in 18 months. It may be related to my leukemia from Vietnam. Although the leukemia is asleep, but it makes you vulnerable. In any event, I'm doing well. I just rode the bike this morning, a couple of miles, and I got to stay fit. That's what keeps us alive, as you know, with your travels around the world. You've been to so many countries, I've lost count.
Over 100 Over 100. General Wickham, it's always a pleasure, and you sound great. I know you had that little bout with pneumonia, but my goodness, you sound very strong, and that's what we like to hear, because we wish you the very best. Thank you.
Well, I think your program is one of the best things going in southern United States, and you've got very good people that are supporting it. And thank you, Bill, for your dedication.
Thank you very much. My best to your lovely wife, Anne. Okay, General Wickham, thanks a lot. Coming up this afternoon, our program, Mic Check, with Mike Shaw. Mike, he's so ably assisted by Ray Allen. And Joseph Morgan will be the guest, the relatively new columnist, conservative columnist, opinion writer at the Arizona Daily Star. So Mike's going to talk with him about what some of the things he keeps in mind as he does his weekly column. So that'll be on Mic Check this afternoon with Mike Shaw. And then we have, of course, Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours of local programming, and then me, Bill Buckmaster. I'm back with you tomorrow, and we have a really full lineup as usual. Katie Hobbs will be joining us. She is a state senator from Phoenix. She also would like to be the next Arizona Secretary of State. She wants to challenge Michelle Reagan in that regard. So Katie will be talking with us. And of course, we've got Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, with our Tuesday Moneymaker Reports. We have a very full program as usual tomorrow for you on Tuesday. On behalf of Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. I hope you're able to stay relatively cool this afternoon, and we'll be back with you tomorrow at 12:04.